Mark 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and then the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Here we are then at Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We've just read the account in Mark. And the question I want to pose to you right now is, are you a campaigner? Are you a follower of any particular cause? Are you an activist? Or perhaps you're none of those things. And why do I mention this anyway? Well, here we have, as I've said, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which is what we celebrate on Palm Sunday. And actually, it can be likened to a liberation march. Maybe you've not heard that before. So let's unpack this. The triumphal entry, as I'm sure you are aware, comes at the beginning of Passover, which, as we know, recalls the liberation of the Israelites from Egypt. And it was a hugely important festival and still is in the Jewish calendar. Regularly, the pilgrims would have taken the journey to Jerusalem, which meant that they had to climb and climb and climb to get to their place of worship. Jerusalem is very high. For example, from Jericho to Jerusalem, it's a long, hard climb. You go from a city at 800 foot below sea level to a city which is 3,000 feet above sea level. You see what I mean? The pilgrims going to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, as they walked, may well have sung some of the Psalms of Ascent. They may have been telling the story of the release from captivity from Egypt. This is what they were going to celebrate. It is this moment, this festival, that Jesus picks to make his mark, to declare who he is by his entry into Jerusalem in a very distinctive way. We read the account in Mark's Gospel, but there are a number of signs given to us across all of the Gospel accounts of this event. So we're going to include all of them. What do the signs tell us? What can we learn from them? So the signs that we read of are these. First of all, as I've mentioned, it's the timing, the Passover celebration, the freedom of slavery from Egypt. This, of course, is a message of liberation from captivity. And at this point in time, the time at which Jesus is walking the earth, the people of Israel are yet again under oppression and captivity. His timing, the Passover festival. And then you have the waving of the branches. Well, this was actually associated with another festival called Hanukkah, which is about victory over pagan invaders and the rededication of the temple centuries earlier. Another sign of victory. In the account in John's Gospel, the triumphal entry occurs just after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. This, of course, was Jesus' ultimate goal with his victory over the cross and his resurrection. Another victory. Then you have the donkey. I always find it a slightly amusing image to think of Jesus riding a donkey, a grown man. They're small beasts. What a humble thing to do. But a donkey is a symbol of purity, a symbol of peace and not war. You see, a victor would traditionally enter their city riding on their very best war horse, symbolic of power and victory over the enemy. Jesus chooses a donkey, a sign of peace, and also a sign which fulfills the prophecy which is quoted in Matthew. We don't have it here in Mark, Matthew 21, 4 and 5, where he quotes from Zechariah 9 of the king coming riding on a donkey. Then you have the coats thrown on the ground. I don't think we would do this, would we? But not so unusual in the times that we're reading of. This is a sign of homage and submission to a king. Actually, people laying their wealth before them, the symbol of, you know, letting the donkey or the horses trample over your best coat. It's a symbol of laying everything down before the victorious king, following him, if you like. Then you have the blessing, which is used from Psalm 118, verse 26. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, used as people went up to worship at the temple. And here it is used before Jesus. And the cry, Hosanna, Hosanna, meaning save us or save me now. Do you see what I mean? When we look at these seven signs, Jesus was proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God. And what would this look like? Well, he had actually drawn the hearer's attention to this when he read the Torah, when he read the passage from Isaiah in the temple sometime earlier, recorded in Luke chapter 4. And he read the passage in Isaiah which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, a recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." That's how he started his ministry. Justice, freedom from oppression, favour for all. So this entry into Jerusalem, proclaiming so many of the victory signs and symbols, is rather like a liberation march, heralding a new kingdom. Consider some of the marches that perhaps we can relate to that bring or have sought to bring justice and peace. There was a really huge one in India some decades ago called the Salt March. The people of India were hugely oppressed by the British in regard to the salt tax. They were harvesting the salt but not receiving any of the benefit of it. And so Gandhi led a totally peaceful march, which gathered thousands along the way. Then in the last 12 months, the marches and the protests about Black Lives Matter, recognising the racial injustice that still exists in our society. And what about the marches that took place more particularly in the 60s and 70s about equal pay for women? But actually this has risen up again, with inequalities still being in place. The symbol of peaceful marching goes deep into our society, and they're often marches which are about liberation, about justice, declarations and demands for justice. And often change is made as a result. So, back to entering the scene in Jerusalem then, those signs of remembrance of liberation from slavery, those signs of victory of the proclaiming of the coming kingdom, they're all pointers towards the future. Jesus is declaring, "I am your God," loud and clear for those who want to see and read the signs. He had already used these words, hadn't he, when he read the Torah in the temple in Luke 4, as I've said. And since then, he's been demonstrating them through his actions, his words, his prayers, his teaching to people, the way that he has healed and built up and brought into his world the most marginalised. And here we see him declaring the fulfilment of this prophecy. He is campaigning for freedom, justice, release from oppression, and a new kingdom, a new way of doing things. He's proclaiming good news for the poor. He's proclaiming freedom for the prisoners. He's proclaiming to set the oppressed free. He's proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour is now, and it rests with me. The people crying Hosanna were perhaps expecting him to take control by force, to cause a rising revolution. The demonstration itself would probably have been an illegal gathering as they waved the palm branches at Jesus riding his donkey. And we read here of the Pharisees, or we read in Luke rather, of the Pharisees just wanting him to be silent. But the reply is that the very earth will cry out if he were silent. Jesus is marching for the freedom of the whole earth. And then if we read beyond these immediate verses in Matthew, Luke and Mark, we have an account of Jesus moving on to the temple and the cleansing of the temple. In Matthew and Luke, he enters the temple that very same day. In Mark, we read that he went to the temple, but he returned the following day. Either way, this is his next decisive action. Remember the coats strewn on the ground and that this was symbolic of throwing one's wealth before a king? How ironic then that within a few verses, within 24 hours, the people have been throwing their wealth before their king, and then their king enters the most holy place and calls it a den of robbers. So where does their wealth and loyalty really lie? He gives a severe demonstration of his liberation march and what it means as he overturns the tables and drives out the sellers and hawkers and their corrupt ways. He's coming to bring freedom from oppression, justice for all, especially the poor and the marginalised, and a restoration of the true kingdom of God with renewed values. That's the work of the cross. What about you and me in this moment? Where do we stand as we read about or observe this triumphal entry or liberation march? Are we joining the march? Are we standing on the sidelines? Are we unsure of what it all means? Where are we at this moment? Are we the bearers of the new kingdom to bring justice, freedom from oppression? In what way will we choose to join in the liberation march, which is the coming of the new kingdom of God? The march had signs of the kingdom. What signs of the kingdom do we give off as followers of Jesus now, today, in the 21st century? Here's some possibilities. Are we bringing peace through our conversations and actions? Are we the bearers of peace? Are we declaring victory through speaking the truth of Jesus and what he has done to set us all free? Are we fulfilling the prophecies of his church? God has said, I will build my church. Are we getting behind that in our words and our actions and our deeds? Are we prepared to lay down our wealth? Do we care about releasing people from poverty, that which is in our hands to do something about in our locality, or campaigning our government to release the wealth of our nation for the poor? Are we singing and proclaiming blessing for our world? What do our words and songs say about what we believe? Do we bless? Do we proclaim God's blessing? Are we crying out in genuine intercession for God to save us and save our world as we cry, Hosanna, come save us and save us now? This is what it means to join the triumphal entry and Jesus' unique liberation march. I want to leave you with a quote from Jennifer Henry from the Kairos movement, which I think sums this up well. When we walk, wheel, kneel, or stand in a public place, when we let the symbols speak, when we proclaim truth and offer an alternative way, a demonstration of freedom or justice or compassion or reconciliation, we get closer to the meaning of the action of Jesus in that Palm Sunday procession. So let's be committed to being bearers of peace, those who declare Jesus' victory, those who build up his church. Let's be radical in our use of wealth and resources, campaigning for the poor, and above all, be proclaimers of blessing to our world and all around us as we recognise the coming of the kingdom of God through the work of the cross that we celebrate at Easter.